And we talk about the idea of the series we're going through, we're talking about what we believe, right? And we're kind of using the Apostles' Creed as the kickoff from that. We're just saying the Apostles' Creed. So we'll kind of keep that going for a little bit, kind of get that into your noggin a little bit. Music has a way of helping us to remember certain things. So hopefully that will get its way from our heads into our hearts of what we believe, what it really means to be a Christian. I just find there's so much misinformation out there. I use the kind of the current terms that's going on, right? Misinformation, disinformation. I really don't know the difference of those things are. But in here, as Christians, oftentimes we become really biblically illiterate of what it means to be a Christian. So we look at the Apostles' Creed sort of as that solid foundation from scriptures of what the Bible talks about. So we talk about, last week, we talked about the God, the Holy Father, right? The creator of all things. This week, we're going to look at Jesus Christ. And actually, if you notice in the song we sang or in the Apostles' Creed, that most of what is written there is about Jesus. About Jesus. So actually, I'm going to break this up. Probably 2 weeks, maybe three. You know how I am, right? I just can't shut up, so things kind of go long. So I'm going to say 2 weeks, maybe, probably, possibly 3 weeks. But we look at who Jesus is, which I think is an exciting topic as Christians that we should be excited about who Jesus is. He's the one we love. He's the one who died for us, right? And so in here, we all have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, who is Jesus? It's probably one of the most important questions you will ever answer because everything else will come from that. Everything else comes from that. Right? It's interesting because Jesus asked his disciples this question. In Matthew chapter 16, it says, and Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say I am? Right? What's the word on the street? Because people were coming out. Remember, at this point, Jesus is healing. Jesus has fed 5,000 people, right? Dead people are coming back to life. I mean, there is a bunch, a stir. People were coming from all over the place to see who this Jesus is. And so the question is, who is he? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus brings it down to brass tacks, but who do you say that I am? This is a question all of us need to ask. Who is Jesus? Right? Is he just some good teacher? I get frustrated sometimes. There's a gentleman that I have some conversations with once in a while. And I love the guy. He's a great guy. And we talk about church and we talk about what's going on in his life. And he goes, I just can't get over the point of where Jesus is God. That you say Jesus is God. He goes, I think he's a good teacher. I think he's a good example. He goes, but I cannot believe that Jesus is God. And we're going to see as we follow out these things that there is no salvation outside of that. Jesus is who he says he is. And if he's not, then he's a liar and he shouldn't be followed at all. Right? We don't need a good example. We need a savior. Jesus is those things. So who do you say that I am? And Simon answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this passage goes on and Jesus says, you know what? Simon, I'm going to call you Peter, which is the little rock. And he goes, and on this big rock, this testimony that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And then in that hinges everything else. The Bible tells us that there is salvation in no other name except for Jesus Christ. Right, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want a religion that will tell you how to live a good life, you can probably pick anyone you want. Right? If you just want to know, be a good moral person, you can pick to be a Buddhist, a Hindu. Right? You could be a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. You could pick all these ones that will tell you how to live a good life, and yet none of them will get you beyond the grave. So the question comes down, as far as a religion goes, is what happens when you die? What then? And Jesus says there is no other salvation besides Him. So if Jesus is God, if He is who He says He is, then He is to be worshipped and be served. So we can talk about the Apostles' Creed, right? We went through the song, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Universal Church, communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. And so we're going to take down and break down the testimony, if you will, these beliefs of Jesus Christ. And we're going to take it out, like I said, probably 2 weeks, possibly three. But the first one we see here is we're going to break up. It says, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. What does this mean? The term Christ, it's funny, I was talking to someone, they thought Christ was Jesus' last name. That's not what it is. It's a title. In the Hebrew, it would be Messiah. He's the chosen one of God. He's the one who was prophesied that would come. Jesus is the Christ. He's fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies. Actually, I have a whole series we preach on Jesus from the Old Testament. Right? If you're bored, you can't sleep at night, pull it up on YouTube, on Facebook. It'll put you out probably within 5 minutes. You know. But here you're talking about who Jesus is. And all these things in the Old Testament pointed to the one who was going to come all the way back to Genesis. When sin entered into the world, the promise that a Messiah would come, one would come that would free us from our sins, that He would crush the serpent's head. He would defeat the devil and lead us in the victory and bring us into the presence of God. The chosen one. That's who Jesus is. He says His only Son. In our Lord. Now it's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you go through the Old Testament, we talk about the idea that God is one. This is really crucial. And sort of to understand the New Testament, we need to look back at the Old Testament. Deuteronomy tells us, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is what? How many? One. We believe in how many gods? There is only one God. Throughout the whole Old Testament, that is reiterated, that separated Israel from all the other nations. All the other nations had multiple gods they believed in. Israel had one. And so that is driven through as a historical, theological fact all the way throughout Scripture. Now it's interesting because we have these other things come in, and we're going to look at it just in a minute, but it's imperative for us to start from the fact that there is only one God. As Christians, we only believe in one God. Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and the last. Besides me, what? There is no God. So we get into the New Testament. Israel is emphatic. There is only one God. Drive that home. Put that into your mental bank account. Because that's so imperative, because when Jesus comes onto the scene, He is acting in a way that only God acts. He does things that only God does. And so therefore, Jesus isn't a God. If you listen to a Mormon will say, Jesus is one God among many gods. So you can become a God according to their religion. It's contrary to Scriptures. Mormons are not Christians according to Orthodox Christianity. So there is only one God. But because Jesus has these characteristics, Jesus is also God. Jesus is God as well. Now, are you confused yet? Right? I said, wait a minute, there's only one God. We talked about God the Father, right, a couple weeks ago. Now we're talking about Jesus being the Son, who is also God, but there's only how many gods? One. You got that? And then later on, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is also God. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are they three gods? No. The Bible says how many gods are there? One. You got that? Can you explain it to me? This is one of those things. Now, you want to pull out the theological term for this. It's called the what? The Trinity. This is called the Trinity. And so it's interesting, when Jesus comes on the scene, right? I was listening to a critic talk about how Jesus never said that he was God. Right? Jesus didn't come out and say, I am God. And that's true. Jesus did not use those words. Because especially from the Jewish mindset, right? Throughout the whole Old Testament is the fact that God is how many? There is only one God. So Jesus comes on the scene and starts introducing himself as the second person we call the Godhead. There is one God, three persons within that one God. And we call that the Trinity. People say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That is true. It is not. But it's a word that is explaining realities we find in the Scripture. Now, to try to help us kind of understand what we talk about, the idea of the Trinity, we have this picture here. The center is God. Notice what it says the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. Hopefully that cleared it all up for you. I believe it not because I understand it, I believe it because this is what the Bible says. And sometimes, by faith, I need to accept what God says. Have you ever dealt with a child? And they start asking you questions, and sometimes you explain it to them the best you can. But I think every parent, I think you say these words, because I said so. Right? I remember especially at one point with our oldest. Why? You get the kids in that kind of that why, you know, why, you know, do this. Well, why? Because of this. Why? Because of this. Because of this. And so my wife finally would say, because I said so. And she'd done this so often. My daughter would say, yeah, Mom, I know. You said so. So sometimes there's things by faith we just got to accept that God has talked about. But this is imperative as Christians that we believe in the Trinity, that there is only one God in three persons. You don't have to understand how it all works. I know sometimes people will try to bring up illustrations and talk about, like, you have water, and water is ice, and it's also water, liquid, and it's also steam. That's not a really good illustration, because water is only one thing at a time, and that's not true. God is not the Father. Then he's the Son, and then he's, that doesn't work. Someone used that illustration of an egg, that you have, the egg is the shell, it's got the white and the yolk. Right, but it's one egg, but it has three parts. Yeah, okay, maybe that helps. I just read that one the other day. It talks about the illustration of the sun. That the sun, you have the sun, the body of the sun, you have the light of the sun, you have the heat of the sun. And that's probably closer if you're trying to understand. If that helps you, God bless you. If that confuses you, forget everything I just said. Just know that the Bible talks about it, and we have some proof texts that we're going to go through each one of these. We talk about God the Father, and then today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ being God. But Jesus himself comes out and says what? The Father and I are one. And because there's only one God, if Jesus says that he is the same as God, therefore Jesus has to be God. Interesting, while Jesus was here, like I said, someone will say, well, Jesus never actually said, I am God. No, because they would have understood that as saying that he was the Father. And Jesus is not the Father. Right? So Jesus explains this out and tries to bring in this idea that he is the Son of God, but he is also God. Notice what he says here. And this is following this all up. John chapter 10 says, the Father and I are one. Here's the context of that. Because the then Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered and said, what? Many works I have shown you from my Father. For which one of those do you stone me? And the Jews answered, saying, for good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. Right? Why? Because you, being a man, what? Make yourself God. Right? So Jesus says, I and the Father are one and the same. Well, the Jews understood that. It's interesting because from the Greek point of view, right? If someone said, hey, I'm a god, well, they would have no problem with that because, right, they have Zeus, they have Apollos, Diana, right? They have all these different gods. Oh, you just one more god on top of that. But the Jews were understood and knew for a fact that how many gods are there? There is only one God. And so Jesus says, the Father and I are one. We are the same. Right? The Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son, but they are both God. The Jews understood this and what? Took up stones to kill Jesus. Why? Because they knew Jesus was saying, I am whom? I am God. That's what it says. You, being a man, make yourself God. So it's interesting that those who heard the message, heard Jesus talking, knew that he was talking about, I am God. Luke is another example of this. And then he saw their faith, and he said to the man, your sins are forgiven you. There's a paralytic man that comes, right? And he's, hey, Jesus, I can't walk. Heal me. And Jesus doesn't do it right off the bat. What he does, he says, your sins are forgiven you. The Pharisees freak out. Right? And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? For who can forgive sins but only who? God can only forgive sins. Only God can. Therefore, Jesus is saying he is God. And then after this, Jesus says, pick up your bed and walk, and Jesus heals him. But Jesus, it's interesting, this claim that Jesus never says he is God, it's really not a true statement. What he says, he doesn't say, I am the Father. But time and time again, he declares himself to be God. The scriptures elsewhere go down and talk about that Jesus pre-existed. Jesus existed before he came to earth, right? Before Christmas, Jesus was around. John chapter 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. You read John chapter 1. It's obvious that it's talking about who is this Word? Who was the Word, the Logos, that was together with God the Father in eternity past? And it is Jesus. Jesus is the same as the Father. They existed in eternity past. Jesus was again talking. This is John chapter 8. It says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. So Jesus is talking about Father Abraham, right? The father of the Jews. And he says, and Abraham knew me. That's what he's saying here. Abraham knew me. And the Jews said to him, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus picks his word here very carefully, because this term, the I am, is the same term that Moses heard God say his name was with the burning bush. Jesus says, I am the I am. Jesus is saying, I am God. He's not God the Father, but he is God the Son. And once again, what's the reaction, right? Are we reading into this? No. Look at those who heard him that day. He says, and they took up stones to throw at him. Why were they picking up stones? Because they were accusing him of blasphemy. Being a man, he declares himself God. Take a look at Jesus' prayer. John 17, and this is a beautiful prayer. This is before Jesus goes to the cross, and he prays this prayer. And in this, he prays for his disciples. He prays for us, actually. He says, pray for those who believe because of the apostles, right? And that's us. Jesus prays for us. But if there's any doubt at all that Jesus isn't who he says he is, right? Take a look what he says. It says, now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. With what? With the glory which I had with you before the world was. I find this a beautiful passage. Because when Jesus came here to earth, we're going to look at this actually next time we're together. Right? We're going to talk about the humanity of Christ. And this is, I think, one of the biggest miracles is that God became flesh. That he stepped aside, he laid his glory aside to come down and not just clothe himself in flesh, but actually become us. You talk about a step down. That God laid aside his glory to become human. And Jesus is here, and he's going to face the cross. And he's talking to his Father, and he's like, Father, restore to me the glory that I had with you before. Before what? Before he came. Actually, in this case, he said what? Even before the world was. That we look at this idea of eternity, that Jesus Christ is God the Son. That before this world came in creation, what existed was God. And eternity passed before any of this came around. We see this relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's interesting, you talk about one of the proofs for the Trinity. Is one of the characteristics, one of the attributes of God is love. Well, it's interesting because for love to be love, you have to love someone. Right? Love is an action. Love is something you have to show to someone. If God was eternally love, who did he love before this world came about? Who did God love before you were here? Right? Well, he loved my grandparents. Well, before that, my great-great-grandparents. Right? You get the idea, right? And then you go back all the way to Adam and Eve, and God loved Adam and Eve. Well, who did he love before that? And this is one of the beauties of the idea of the Trinity, is that in eternity past, the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father. That in here, God has always been and always will be love. Because he contained it all within himself. There's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God. And I love this picture in here. And Jesus, he's reflecting back and he's like, Lord, give me back the glory I had with you. Before this world even began. That the Father loved the Son. But the Son loved the Father. Perfect unity within the triune, the Trinity of God. Lastly, we see within this that he is the Son, right? He is God, but also that he is our Lord. Psalm says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at your right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Right? My Lord said to your Lord, who is this Lord? Who is this Lord? Philippians tells us, therefore God has also highly exalted him, or Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is what? Lord, to the glory of the Father. See, God is not a God who's far away, but He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one we serve. He's the one we give our lives to. This idea that Jesus is not only God, but He is our Lord, is a relationship we have with Him. God wants to have a relationship with you. We are told that Jesus Christ came into this world as a babe, grew a perfect life, knows what it's like to struggle. He knows what it's like to be a human. And Hebrews tells us because of this, we have a God who understands us. We have a God who understands us. You know, I love hearing these politicians talk. And they have no clue. They have no clue. Right? I mean, you're down in Washington, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are, and you're down there for any length of time, all of a sudden, you go down there, you know, worth a few hundred dollars. After a few years, you're worth a couple million. Right? Can you even imagine what it'd be like to have $1 million in your bank account? Can you I can't even comprehend that. Right? It's funny, this week, almost 2-3 weeks ago, I called to get fuel oil. Because we're down a little over a quarter tank, and I called up and I said, look, we need fuel oil. Said, well, we can't be there for 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, 2 weeks. And so it's been cold. I've been watching. It's, you know, kind of good. And I talked to my brother. I was like, yeah, I got this. And he's like, just go somewhere else. Well, you know how it goes, right? If you go to a different company that normally comes, there's a minimum you have to require to buy, you know. So I was like, no, we're gonna sit it out. The Lord was gracious because I went down there, and I didn't tell my wife this. On Friday, the tank, plug your ears, the tank, because she's like, how low is it? I said, well, we're below, you know, a week ago, we're like eighth of a tank. And then it was like getting down. And so Friday, it was sitting right on empty. And I had to leave the house. I had an errand to run, so I left. I said, you know, hon, let me know the fuel, because it's supposed to be here today. It's Friday. If it's not today, then it's going to be over the weekend, right? And I'm like, oh, am I going to get someone here? Well, then it'll cost more money that way. And I know you can use diesel, right? Fuel. Is that right? Is that the right thing? I think you use, but it costs more. You know how it is, right? Well, no, I'm going to save money. I don't want to go. And so it's like, all right. So my wife's like, oh, they came. It's like, oh, good. All right. It was like, phew, right? But all this idea of worry and fretting, and you listen to these politicians or listen to people who just have no clue, right? What it's like to kind of struggle. What it's like to say, we're pinching our pennies. Oh, we can't afford that. It's like, God understands. And because of that, He says, come boldly before His throne of grace. He is our Lord. He wants a relationship with. He knows what it's like. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be disappointed. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows all these things. He knows what it's like not to have a pillow for your head. He knows what it's like to struggle and all these things. And because of that, He says, come to me. He is our Lord. Thomas declares, he calls Him my Lord and my God. He uses the title of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in here we have the whole enchilada, if you will. We have His deity. We have His humanity. And He has that relationship He has with His people. Revelation says this, and these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For what? He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with Him are called chosen and faithful. That's us. That Jesus is our Lord. He is my Master. He is the one I serve. He is the one who is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want. He's the one I give my life to. He's the one I follow. And because of that, that relationship. We are called chosen and faithful. And if we believe Jesus is who he says he is, if he is God, if he is your Lord, then this question he leaves with you. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things in which I say? You know, Jesus was just a mere man. His words would carry no weight. He wouldn't deserve to be worshipped. But because he's God, he's worthy of all those things. And if we call him our Lord, that means we follow him. We will do what he tells us to do. The Bible says, his word have we hid in his heart, that we may not sin against him. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, as Christians, we should be excited over his word. Lord, show yourself to me. Lord, help me to take what you say and put it into action in my life. Lord, help me to love you. Lord, help me to worship you. At the end of the day, what we believe affects everything we do. Jesus is God. He's worthy to be served and praised. He is our Lord. He's worthy to be followed. All glory to him. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we use that term, and I don't mean to make it light. Lord, you are my Lord. Lord, I want to serve you with all that I am. Lord, you are worthy of it for what you have done for us. Lord, you are God the Son. Holy and just and pure, loving and kind and merciful. Lord, I pray we lift you up. We worship the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. I should please stand and sing. We're going to sing What a Beautiful Name It Is. We'll sing this in closing. The sun is shining. It's going to be a beautiful day.